It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I am definitely at an emotional and personal crossroads. I'm feeling grateful for so much right now. I have to make my decision about where I'm going to college. I just don't want to let them down.
She may require another surgery.
I've never seen her unraveling to this extent.
Falling apart.
I just need to talk to everyone. It's just been such a struggle.
Jazz like you've never seen her before. January 28th at 9 on TLC.
Three of the show, it's almost here. There have been lots of headlines, of course, surrounding what you'll be going through in this season. You said that you'll complete the last step on your journey to becoming the person that you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
What is your biggest fear going into this sort of last phase of your journey?
I mean, there's definitely been a lot of complications in terms of the bottom surgery. We've been talking about it a lot, and you'll see in the show that there's some problems, especially because I've been on the hormone blockers, and basically I haven't had a lot of development. So we're, you know, debating if I have enough material to work with. It's all this weird stuff, but it's been a journey for sure. And I haven't gotten the procedure yet, but in this season, you'll see me going on consultations and finding the surgeon of my choice.
Sure.
That's the voice of Jazz Jennings, who made transgenderism and puberty blockers and changing little boys into little girls quite vogue on TLC. And that's not a new story. Of course, Jazz has been around for a long time. And then gradually across the country, we've seen this growth of doctors and teachers recommending hormone blockers for small children, a breast removal, a little boy part removal. It's amazing what we are allowing before our very eyes. And the battle now is raging in one particular state, and so we want to talk about that. It's South Dakota, of all places, who, when they think of South Dakota, think of transgender treatments for children, and yet that is what they're grappling with. And someone who's right in the center of all of it, leading the charge to protect kids in South Dakota, is our next guest. It's Representative Fred Deutsch. He's a Republican from Florence, South Dakota. In his private life, he's a chiropractor. He also is the son of a Holocaust survivor, which we'll touch on when we get to that. And so let me just say, Fred, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Sandy. My pleasure to be here.
Let's just cut to the chase and talk about what House Bill 1057, which passed in the House 46-23 just last week. What does it say? What's so controversial about this?
Well, you think it would be controversial. I don't think it really is. All it does is protect children. Those kids that don't know if they're a boy or a girl, it gives them an opportunity just to grow up a little bit to age 15 or below before they can start doing all these procedures like hormone blockers and cross-sex hormones and removal of body parts. And of course, some people don't like that. They think that this is a bill that goes too far.
So, Fred, but there are penalties, actual penalties for doctors who prescribe these hormones and do these major surgeries on kids in your bill. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. There is a penalty. It's a misdemeanor. Up to 2 years in jail and a financial fine as well.
So it would be interesting for people. I want to talk about the political fight for you, but I also want to know personally why for you this issue. You know, there are a lot of issues in this world, and why this particular one for you?
Yeah, well, you know, the truth, Sandy, is that I didn't know anything about this up until about 9 months ago. I started exploring Twitter, and I found all these young people that were suffering, and it just broke my heart, listening to the stories of people that regret going through these permanent changes in their bodies. And so I began looking into, does this happen here in South Dakota? And I found that it did. That's when I made up my mind I needed to try to do something to stop it, to protect our children.
You know, that was shocking to me. I always think of South Dakota as this outpost of sanity. I remember working with Concerned Women for America leaders in South Dakota a long time ago, and they had such a strong group, and they were fighting, of course, on the issue of life and all of that. So when I think of South Dakota, I think of, you know, salt of the earth people. I don't think of transgender hormones for children. So is, you know, in many schools around the country, Fred, teachers are actually counseling kids that they need hormone blockers. They're assigning names to them that don't comport with their natural gender, what they're born with. And they're required by law not to tell parents. And it's just become a mess in, like, California and Massachusetts. But South Dakota, is that happening in South Dakota?
Sandy, we don't know that it's going on in our schools. I've not seen any evidence of that. We do know that up to 20 children per year are going through these medicalization procedures by a large healthcare provider. They testified to that in committee. It could be many more that go through these procedures. We don't know the numbers totally.
Just in terms of the political part of this, in the House, I think in both houses, and your governor, Kristi Noem, who I met, by the way, when she was a congresswoman, freshman in D.C., very pretty girl, yeah. We thought a strong conservative, and we'll talk about her in just a second. But is the House and the Senate controlled by Republicans in South Dakota?
Yeah, both chambers are. We have a very strong conservative representation in Pierre and in Washington, too.
So you'd think it would be a slam dunk, wouldn't you, that this bill would pass? I mean, it did pass in the House 46-23, but there is concern about the Senate, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, so when we have such a strong Republican majority, there's a great diversity of Republican thought, and it'll be close in the Senate. We're hopeful we have the votes, but it's still early, and it's not as much of a slam dunk over there as it was in the House.
And so, and then also, your governor is giving concerning signals, as I understand it. She has been talking to you personally, kind of not taking your phone calls, and signaled to others that she may oppose this bill. Why?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. You know, if she would potentially oppose this, I think she's going to have a tough time getting reelected. She's going to have a tough time with her base. I just pray that she does, if we can get it to her desk, I pray that she signs it. She has repeatedly said that she wants to be the governor for the next generation, and this is how she does it. I've not had the opportunity to talk to her. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let me just say on a practical level that for those of you listening in South Dakota, let me talk to you. And also, this, just know that states, we'll get to this broader discussion in a few minutes, but there are states across the country that are grappling with this already. So this, let this story about South Dakota be something that informs you on why you need to watch what's happening in your own state. But my understanding, Fred, is that the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce is opposing your bill. I'm guessing that's because they looked at North Carolina in the bathroom bill and are afraid of economic sanctions. You think that's correct?
Yes, that's part of it, absolutely. You know, it's hard to know if that's the result of backroom discussions between the chamber and the governor, or if it's all from the chamber. But so there are those that put forward the thought that this is going to cost the state of South Dakota economically, that, you know, money is more important than morality, if you will.
Yeah.
That's what we hear.
All right. Let me just say this: we are going to put the contact information for Governor Kristi Noem on our Facebook page, so that those of you who are listening and watch that, I'll give her phone number. I'll do that right now because some people don't go on Facebook. But her phone number, you can let her know respectfully always. why she needs to be signing when the House, Senate, God willing, passes it. She needs to vote yes on this House Bill 1057. That's House Bill 1057. And her phone number, are you ready with a pen? It's 605-773-3212. That's 605-773-3212. And again, we'll put her contact information and her address actually on our Facebook page as well. And of course, you need to contact your senators in South Dakota also. They need to have some pressure put on them to do the right thing, for heaven's sake, to do the right thing. Fred, you have taken quite a hit. Let me just read a couple of headlines that kind of have to do with you. And first of all, here's one from the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. It says, Fred Deutsch is the face of South Dakota's controversial transgender bill. Who's going to stop him? And then, of course, the Washington Post gets to weigh in, and they put a GOP lawmaker, the son of an Auschwitz survivor, compared doctors treating transgender children to Nazis. He regrets it. I don't know if you want to talk about that for a second, Fred. I know that's controversial, and I think that you did express regret for comparing. But the comparison is well taken by many others, including myself, because the thing, we know that the Nazis did experiments on people who had no control, and they did do horrendous things like tinker with gender. And so, but you were afraid that that was a distraction. Is that, that was your reason for regretting it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the whole purpose of the bill is to protect our children, and sometimes when you're having conversations and discussions, you say something that reporters take way out of context, they twist and turn, and then the conversation becomes something else. And
yes.
I regretted that I opened my mouth, that gave them the opportunity to attack me and take the focus off of children, because that's what this is about. It's about helping our kids, protecting our kids from sterilization and mutilation that is, in many cases, permanent, irreversible. That's what we're trying to do. So, yeah, I made a comment about the pictures that I've seen on social media. You know, these kids take pictures of themselves and they put it out there. And many of them are just, they make you want to cry. They're just so sad. Scars and the changes in the bodies. And I indicated that it looked like pictures that I've seen of Holocaust survivors. And, of course, my father was a Holocaust survivor, so I'm very sensitive to the issue. But then they, some in the media took it to mean like I'm comparing the doctors, and that really didn't even enter into my mind. But it was a lesson learned of you know, discussing these issues maybe as freely as I did, and should have just focused on the bill.
You know, Fred, back in probably 2002, maybe 2003, when I was the president, again, I'm sorry I keep saying that, but this is just a frame of reference, President of Concerned Women for America, it came to my attention that Outright Vermont was the name of an organization that was held a seminar for middle school kids, and one of the classes was on removing healthy breasts. Like if you're a girl who thought she was a boy, and they showed slides. I remember seeing them of the breasts removed, and of course they painted like, you know, Valhalla, that suddenly you're going to be, you know, what you think you are. But they were doing it back then. That's the inroads that they've made in this bit of time. My guest is Representative Fred Deutsch from South Dakota. And next up, we're going to talk to, add to the conversation, a clinical licensed psychologist from California who treats kids going through this, has a lot of knowledge. She's testified in California on this issue, and we're going to add her, fold her into this conversation on South Dakota. So please stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
anticipated, the South Dakota House of Representatives approved and sent to the Senate House Bill 1057. The bill would establish penalties for doctors who provide gender reassignment treatments to minors. It passed the House on a 46-23 vote with one excuse. The bill faces a less certain future in the state Senate.
All right, that's kind of a news report out of South Dakota, kind of spelling out what we're talking about. It is House Bill 1057. It was passed out of the House last week in a vote of 46-23. The sponsor was our guest, Representative Fred Deutsch, who has taken quite the hit for introducing this bill. And we're going to talk to Fred again in a second, but I want to introduce another person to our conversation. Her name is Dr. Laura Haynes. Laura is a California licensed psychologist. She reviews research, writes, and speaks mostly on sexual orientation and on gender identity. And she, gosh, there's so many things to say about Laura. She's testified in California on this issue. She's the chairman of research and legislative policy at the National Task Force for Therapy Equality. She's a consultant for the American College of Pediatricians and many, many more things. But with that, Laura, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sandy.
Let me ask you.
I'm honored to be with you.
You know, yes, and it's great to have you. From your vantage point, what is unique and what is important about this South Dakota bill sponsored by Fred Deutsch?
Well, giving puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and surgeries to children is harmful and dangerous. And they're starting this early and earlier and earlier. One of the reasons it's harmful is that so many of these children actually have psychiatric disorders that need psychological treatment, not this kind of harm to their bodies. Just because a child can say it, usually at the age of two or three, that I'm a girl or I'm a boy, doesn't mean they really have their gender settled. And the children can still be developing their gender identity up to age seven. So if you tell them, oh, you feel like a boy, we'll give you puberty blockers, you can become a boy, you can confuse them and lock them into something they might outgrow. We actually know, and many professional organizations say, that most of these children who are confused about their gender will spontaneously outgrow it. 85%, potentially up to 98%, will come to embrace their body if they're allowed to go through puberty and given psychotherapy support.
Dr. Haynes, let me interrupt you just for a second, because I do want to get into all that. I do, and that's fascinating. And I think there's probably, I'm sure you would, I know you would know better than I, there's a greater body of evidence now coming out about the results of all of this. While they've been pushing hormone blockers, they've done it with such an accelerated pace with just absolutely no research to really show, you know, whereas drugs, you know, the FDA used to protect kids so much. They'd say, you know, in the studies, they would say not approved for minors or not approved for women this age to this age. It seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that these hormone blockers were made available before there was any basis upon which to establish that it was safe, especially for children. Is that true?
Well, to this day, there is no research for using puberty blockers on children using this drug Lupron to stop puberty. There is absolutely no research that lets them know whether it's safe or effective. And they're claiming that, well, you know, we're just giving the children time to decide if they really want to go on and have the whole full-blown thing done to their bodies. But we find that the only research that gives follow-up on this shows that 100% of the children who go on puberty blockers continue on to get the hormones, and they are sterilized for life. Whereas if you'd not put on these puberty blockers, which are not scientific, and they have no research for what they're doing to children here, they have no idea what they're doing. It's an experiment on their bodies. If they just allow them to go through puberty, most of them will naturally resolve their gender confusion, outgrow it, embrace their bodies, and have a much better life.
Let me get personal just for a second, because this I'm curious about you, Dr. Haynes, because you're in California, and I don't need to tell you that California is on the cutting edge, shall we say, of this issue, along with many of the other places in the East that I don't know who was first, you know, the West Coast or the East, but both equally bad in terms of their plunging into this and putting their children at risk. So here you are in California, and you're a licensed psychologist, and you're writing and testifying before Congress. You're not exactly anonymous. What has been the personal blowback on you?
Well, so far there hasn't been any personal blowback on me. I'm retired from private practice, so I'm one of the psychologists who is in a good position to go forward and speak out about this. But we have seen a lot in California on this issue, and it's very important that South Dakota nip it in the bud. I can tell you exactly what happens if they don't. I just heard a case from one of my colleagues of a family where the little boy is kind of, you know, shy, and he made friends with another little boy who was transgender. And that little boy and his mother started pushing on this boy that he was transgender. The parents became concerned because, well, then now the school counselor and teachers are all affirming this kid and you're transgender, and they're all sending him in the path it's going to lead to doing these harmful things to his body. So they have other children, they have elderly parents they're caring for, and what are they going to do? They are seriously considering one of the parents moving out of state with this child to another state where he can get psychotherapy and won't be taken from their home by Children's Services, potentially. We don't know if it would actually happen, but we're wondering. And just stay out of state with him until he's 18 and then bring him back home. So it is a very scary situation. It's so important to nip this in the bud and just stop this child abuse. Just say, no, we're not going to harm children.
Let me go back to Fred for a second. Fred, I know that you guys in South Dakota have developed a set of, I guess we could call them talking points, but talking points are sometimes people think of those things structured to convince that are not truthful. Your talking points are pretty powerful. And I don't know if I have them in front of me, and maybe I'm wrong to describe them as something you guys have all embraced, but it's what my understanding is. And I just want to start and have you fill in the blanks. This is the way you're making the case, and I think these are great points, could I say. The first one is every child in South Dakota should be protected from dangerous drugs and treatments. Am I talking about something that you are familiar with, these points?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, so expand that. What more could you? You're talking to South Dakotans and other parents around the country. Why should they be protected from drugs and these treatments?
Well, because they're children, and so many of them are irreversible. They're devastating, permanent changes to children's bodies, like sterilization. You know, like Laura indicated, you start these children out on puberty blockers and move to cross-sex hormones, many times there's no coming back from that. How can a child understand what it means to sterilize their body? And who are parents to authorize that? You know, we do have this fight about parental rights as well. And so that's the question. Does a parent have a right to sterilize their child's body? And what is the state's role in preventing that? There is a lot of internal discussion about that, and my belief is the state needs to protect children. You know, in South Dakota, we're having a debate this year also about raising the smoking age from 18 to 21 to be compliant with federal law. 21 years of age to be restricted from smoking, but this law is only under the age of 16. I mean, come on. I mean, what are we talking about here? So that's why that's important.
Yeah, and I just think those are great points. You also say, and I agree, that people aren't permitted to vote, serve in the military, or get married in South Dakota till they are 18. So how in the world can you have a child deciding that they want to have their natural body parts removed or their hormones blocked when they don't even understand? And we're talking about children below what, 18? Is this the bill talking about children under 18?
Yeah, so the bill's actually been amended to be under 16, and it may go back up to 18 through this process of moving through the Senate. So the age is in flux a little bit, but right now it's at 16. The other side of that is in South Dakota, we don't let our kids gamble. You know, we can't allow kids go into Deadwood, one of our famous gambling communities. We don't let kids drink. We don't let them smoke, like we discussed. We don't let them vape, but we're going to let them receive these permanent body changes. That's something that we're asking people to give great thought to.
You know, there are a lot of there's a lot of pushback. I know the ACLU is one of the chief opponents, and let me ask both of you, what kinds of arguments is the other side bringing against your position on this? Fred, let me ask you first, and then I'll go to Dr. Haynes.
Well, you know, parental rights, like we discussed. There's also a blowback from the South Dakota State Medical Association that this interferes with the doctor-patient relationship, that these are decisions that should only be made between a patient and a doctor and their parent, similar to what we hear on the abortion front. You know, those are probably two of the most important that we heard in committee.
Who were your most powerful opponents, Dr. Haynes, when you testified in California on these kinds of bills? Who were your most effective opponents or your arch opponents on this?
Well, in California, it's like every senator and every representative and the governor. So, I mean, I haven't seen... We don't have a bill like this one in California, let me tell you. It would be in our dreams that it would happen, and we would find out the answer to what you're saying. You know, some of them, I would say that the political groups would say that children can know at the age of 2 or 3 what their gender is. They know. And so the children can decide, and they can diagnose themselves, and, you know, and that you're, and it's who they really are. And they can't change. And so you're going against who they really are and harm and shaming them. And, of course, that's all false because children at 2 or 3 don't have settled their gender identity. It's still developing. And it's not who they really are. There's no professional organization that says that gender dysphoria is caused by having the wrong brain and the wrong body or that it's even biologically determined. They all agree that it's developed by a child, also by a child's experiences in their environment growing up. The APA Handbook of Sexuality and Psychology even says it could be caused by family pathology. So, and we have research to back that up. So, these are really falsehoods that are being used.
You know, I want to read to both of you from this Washington Post article, Fred, that that came after you. The title, again, was A GOP Lawmaker, Son of an Auschwitz Survivor, Compared Doctors Treating Transgender Children to Nazis. He regrets it. But this is a question or a, this is a paragraph in this news article. The operative word here is news. And this is their statement, and either of you can respond to this. So it says, hormone treatment, now remember, this is a news story written by the Washington Post. Hormone treatment, which can be used to delay puberty, is reversible. And medical evidence suggests allowing transgender children to delay puberty until they are 16 can lower their risk for developing mental health conditions. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, children under 18 very rarely undergo sex reassignment surgery. I guess, Dr. Haynes, you have to answer this one. So what's your response to
that? Yeah, the American Academy of Pediatrics standard or guidelines are a laughingstock right now. They have been just shredded to bits by even an out-and-proud LGBT activist specialist expert. So we don't really put a lot of stock in what they're saying, and their decision was just made by about 30 to 36 people who are in certain committees and at the head of the organization. They do not represent necessarily all of the members of the organization as some people may be led to think. So it's just, I mean, I'm not impressed by what they say.
So in other words, you're saying that's poppycock, I think that's what you're saying. That's the medical medical.
Yes, that would be the ordinary English, yes.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Fred, how about this one for you? This is again from, now this is a quote in the Washington Post article from Libby Skirin, who I'm sure you know. She's the policy director for the ACLU. In South Dakota, this is what she said. Transgender kids, like all kids, deserve a chance to experience joy, to learn in a safe environment, to get the health care that they need, and to survive into adulthood. When the government proposes laws that would stigmatize them and undermine their care, they lose those opportunities. What's your response to that, Fred?
Well, I would tell Libby that I agree with her first sentence completely. All kids, including transgender kids, deserve the opportunity to be happy and healthy and to grow into a fulfilling adulthood. And that's exactly the purpose of my bill. My experience in dealing with so many of these children that I've met through social media is that many hurt, many change their mind.
But it's too late. Yeah. Fred, let me interject because we've got the music playing here. It's House Bill 1057. Okay. The Senate is going to be voting on it very soon here. And Kristi Noem, the governor in South Dakota, is not good on this bill, at least not now. She looks as though she's going to oppose it. So those of you in South Dakota need to contact your governor and your state senators. Fred Deutsch is the sponsor of this bill. He's our guest, along with Dr. Laura Haynes from California. So stay tuned for more information about what this all means. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
What's like a stereotype of a boy?
Hey, dude, man. What's up? It's Nana Mika. Ow! Damn. Ah, cool.
I need your name, your gender identity, and your preferred pronouns.
What? I don't know what the last two are.
Riley, do you know what gender is?
Something you identify with that people call you.
Do you know what makes a boy and what makes a girl a girl?
I don't know.
What are boy things?
Strong, fearless.
Oh. Boom! So clearly that doesn't work.
They used to think that the only favorite colors girls could have was pink and purple. But I've never had pink as my favorite color.
Right.
When did you find out if I was a boy or a girl?
Maybe 15 minutes after you were born. But as I'm learning, that was just the sex you were born. That doesn't mean that's the gender you're going to
be. I am not a boy.
How do you know? And this isn't a trick question.
I just know.
You just know.
You shouldn't have to think about it twice.
All right, that was a little cut that we took from a video called Parents Talking to Children About Gender. It was pretty stunning, and it's not the first time we've played that. My guest is Dr. Laura Haynes. She's a California licensed psychologist, and she speaks and has testified before the California State Assembly about things, LGBT issues. I would love to get you just your if you could were able to hear that, Laura, I'd love to know your response to what you just heard.
Well, it's utterly irresponsible, and it will confuse children. Even though children at the age of 2 or 3 can usually say, I'm a boy or I'm a girl, and some of them may give an answer that doesn't match their sex, that doesn't mean that they have settled their gender identity. We know that children are still developing their gender identity up to age 7. But if you do this kind of thing with them, you teach them that they could be a different sex than their body sex, you can confuse them and lock them in for life. And that is so dangerous because it sends them down a path where they will get puberty blockers, for which there is no research, followed by cross-sex hormones, which are wrong-sex hormones, at high toxic doses. And the research for doing that is poor and very poor, according to the people who are doing it, followed by surgery, potentially, to remove breasts or disfigure reproductive organs, and leading to a lifetime of being a medical patient, and 2.8 times higher persisting rate of psychiatric hospitalizations, 2 to 2.5 times higher rate of deaths from cancers, strokes, and heart attacks. and a 19 times higher rate of completed suicides. Sandy, are children at age 5, 10, 13, or 17 able to consent to this? Of course
they can't. I want to, Laura, I want to pin you down just a little bit and make sure that I heard you and that others heard you. These hormone blockers, like the Washington Post and others are claiming, they're no big deal. It's just stalling things for a while. They are reversible. Are they reversible or not?
We don't have any research that tells us they're reversible. The only follow-up study that exists shows that 100% of the children, once they go on these puberty blockers, go on to the hormones and become sterilized for life. They lose their ability to have their own children for life. Hmm. And so we don't let children drive until they're 16. We don't let them vote because we know their brains and their judgment are still developing. They do not have the capacity to foresee what it would mean later on to them not to be able to have their own children. So there's no research to back up the idea that they're buying them time. What they're buying them is a guarantee of going down this harmful and dangerous path.
You know, I will never forget, as long as I live, and I still think it is applicable to what we're discussing now, and I bet you are familiar with the case of David, it's Reimer or Reimer. He was a Canadian-born male, had a twin, an identical twin, and the circumcision was botched, and they cut off his little male part. And the psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever, John Money was his name, convinced the parents. Now, this is way, way back. It was 65, I guess it was when he was born. They did a documentary on this. In fact, the doctor, John Money, filmed these kids as they grew up. And they ended up, he recommended to the parents that they do these hormone treatments and said that this child would never know. It was better that he'd never know that he was born a boy. They would do hormone treatments and that he would grow up as a girl and he would be very well adjusted. But the opposite happened. And it really turned out to be like a Frankenstein endeavor, and the kid was tormented his entire life and ended up, they take him even through, he ends up finding out in a horrific way, and he goes through some reversal, and then he ends up killing himself eventually. It is a nightmare story, and it's for all the world to see, and I don't think things have changed. I don't think the facts of the case have changed, and yet I'm not sure people know about that story.
Right. So it is insane. That's an insane. And the way this all got started is insane. It's still insane. And I think it was one thing I would like everyone to know about is that many of these children, especially the adolescents, actually have psychiatric disorders. And we have research now that comes out of Kaiser Permanente. They studied the electronic medical records of all the members of their healthcare system in Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. And we know which came first, their psychiatric disorders or their gender dysphoria. And what came first was their psychiatric disorders. And the 6 months leading up to the first evidence of non-congruent gender, these children had psychiatric disorders on various disorders at rates higher than their peers who accept their sex, rates of 50 times higher to 260 times higher. Sandy, a rate of 2 times higher would be worthy of publishing. And so we know that these children need psychotherapy. They need psychological help. They don't need, on top of all this, to have puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones. By the way, we know the puberty blockers worsen psychiatric disorders. There's research out of the United Kingdom at their gender clinic that the children on puberty blockers were not any better in their psychological disorders than the ones who had psychotherapy or support, the girls had more behavioral and emotional problems and greater self-harm. By the way, the rates of self-harm were also very high for these children, 50 to 70 times higher. And this is increases this, so that's very dangerous. And their self-harm, which is very high. I'm sorry, it was their self-harm that's 50 to 70 times higher. Their self-harm increased. So this is not treating their psychiatric disorders. And the opponents say, well, these psychiatric disorders are caused because after they are had come out with their gender non-congruent identity, well, then they're not being affirmed with pronouns and puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and these surgeries, so then they get psychiatric disorders. Well, no, we now have this very strong research that tells us, no, the psychiatric disorders come first, and these their suicidality and anxiety. And, a disorder cannot, gender confusion cannot cause psychiatric disorders that preceded its onset. Can't happen. But psychiatric disorders could lead to a child rejecting their body and adopting a different identity.
Wow. Laura, I'm curious about something. We're in quite a battle around the country on this, what they call reparative therapy, which is the ability of people who do counsel with children who are confused about their gender, and the whole idea of people that are friends of ours are people that counsel kids who, you know, maybe think they're the gender that they're not born with, or they're confused about it, but they actually really want to be the gender that their body comports with. And that kind of counseling has been made illegal, and I think it's 16 states now. And does that cover this kind of therapy also? Kids that, I'm assuming that it does.
Okay, yes, it's been banned in probably 18 or 19 states now. Any therapy to help children come to embrace their body or resolve their same-sex attraction. What it does is it leaves them the option of only having this affirmative treatment. If they're having a non-congruent gender identity, what they're left with to resolve their distress is puberty blockers, hormones, having their breasts removed, having their reproductive organs defaced, disfigured, and all the deaths from disease and suicide that come after that. And that, by the way, is from the best research we have, according to our U.S. government's review of the research. So that's what they're left with, or so-called neutral therapy. But let me assure you, neutral therapy does not turn out to be neutral at all. It does not. You know, in the most neutral way, the therapist tries to convince them to go down this affirmative path.
That kind of takes us back to, for instance, South Dakota, where they're battling this right now, and it's people. It is becoming a political issue, and that's, I know people criticize, politicians or the government for getting involved, but honestly, this is the best way to stop this, I think, head it off at the pass now in your state. And certainly those
honestly,
of you in South Dakota... Nope.
Given the pressure that is put on parents to do this to their children, they go to what they think is a specialist in gender dysphoria. The specialist pressures them and tells them, would you rather have a trans kid or a dead kid? So they're telling them they're going to be suicidal and they're going to kill themselves if you don't do this to them. Well, no, the suicidality preceded the onset of gender dysphoria in these children in this research. And the 19 times higher rate of completed suicide was a long-term effect 10 years out after the new car smell wears off. So, but that nevertheless, that's what parents are being pressured with.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the schools are putting on the pressure as this grows. It will come to South Dakota if they don't nip it in the bud. The media, children are seeing it on Facebook and everywhere on television and in the media. And the pressure coming from every direction on these children and on the parents, I'm telling you, parents need this law that says they can't do it to protect them from the pressure. It's the only break they're going to have.
Well, that's exactly my point. Yes, and so it's time to fight in the state houses first and before this becomes a national issue, which it's going to. And so for those of you in South Dakota, I encourage you to call your governor, Kristi Noem, call your state senators, and those of you in the rest of the country, find out what's happening in your state. Laura, I want to know if there's so much written about this, but what's something that you would recommend to parents, to lay people, to read about this? What's a good resource, quickly, if you can?
I would go to the website of the American College of Pediatricians. I think they are the leading organization in dealing with this issue, and you can find good information there.
Yeah, and the good news, okay, American College of Pediatricians, we'll put that on our Facebook page. And the good news is, as you mentioned, there's a lot more research coming out, and there are parents speaking out, and there are children speaking out. And there's the Walt Hires of this world, who I'm sure is a friend of yours. He's a friend of mine, an adult who went through all the surgeries, and he's found so many people who regret what they have done. And so it's time to stop it, and let's stop it now. Dr. Laura Haines, thank you so much for the work that you do and for spending this much time with us. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.